Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You make me feel mighty real, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Timo Pukki scored a beauty and Leeds got a last gasp win. It's Wednesday, 1st of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
I only just realised Advent's underway, Jim.
Yeah, same.
I had my licorice calendar this morning. Three little chunks of licorice for Petey in the morning.
Oh.
So each window has three bits in it?
Yep.
That three is bits luxury.
Yeah, big calendar.
Do they have booze in?
No, licorice, just an exclusively licorice calendar.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You could probably get licorice-y booze, but I don't think.
No. Pina colada, rum punch, the first of the month. How about that, everybody? Well, Peter, you'll be pleased to know that Newcastle are undefeated in December thus far. They got a draw, one all draw at home to Norwich last night. Where do we begin?
How dare the Big Six deign to kind of create a Super League and sort of say, we have created all these memorable Premier League moments. We do this every fucking week. Newcastle are like Gigi Allen mixed with Bruno Mars, mixed with George Gershwin. We are just absolute top of the table entertainment every week. Yeah. There's always something sweet happening.
You missed out Childish Gambino.
Gambino.
It was entertaining, but not in a way that had anything to do with anything that happened in the game.
No.
Wouldn't you argue?
Well,
Are you saying the entertainers are back? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just glad Kieran Clarke got a new contract in February. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
So should we start there?
I think we have to, Jim. I think we have to start there. Yes, sent off after 9 minutes in a crucial bottom of the league game for a foul on Timo Pukki. Yeah, it was a touch sort of Mortal Kombat about it.
It was just bizarre, wasn't it? Like, just, I'm sure everybody listening saw it, but he just tugged his shirt when he threw on goal. It's like, it's one of those moments where you go like, surely that's a red. What has he done there? Your brain takes a moment to catch up with it because it seems so silly.
And it's so early on in the game as well. I mean, and they didn't have a lead. You know, I mean, it was 10 minutes to go. They were 1-0 up and all that kind of stuff. You sort of think,
I thought he couldn't be bothered to speed up. He might actually chase him.
I might get away with this.
Did he perhaps not realise he was the last man?
I think it's one of those instinct things. You see footballers sometimes do it. You get once in a while.
It makes it worse, though, because he had an attending defender.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you get these once in a while where someone will do a really obscure handball.
Yeah.
When the ball goes past them and they just stick out a hand. Yeah. It's just one of those things, I think, that it was a bit of sort of strange instinct sort of took over. And they were down to 10 men, Peter, so early on in the game. Were you worried at that point?
I thought, here we go. This'll test you. It was really annoying because it would have been nice to see what Eddie Howe could do with that team. A firing Joe Linton, like he is.
Yeah,
he's turned him in 3 weeks into something approaching.
Yeah.
If not a £30 million, £40 million footballer, a footballer befitting a position in a Premier League side. Mm-hmm. He's been brilliant since Eddie Howe joined the club.
That is the highest praise I've ever heard you probably give a Newcastle player. He looks like he belongs in the league.
Don't revoke his licence. But also, getting performances out of big John Joe Shelvey, who was man of the match.
Well, I don't agree with that man of the match performance. Why? I think it was Joe Linton, but and certainly Joe Linton had a big part to play. I think both matches last night showed that if you give the referee absolute pelters and tear strips off him, VAR calls have to be made. So I can see 6 months down the line, us teams starting to go, you know what? If we just surround the referee and go absolutely crazy, VAR will have to be called. In sharp contrast to what we saw at Arsenal at the weekend, there were kind of some situations where there could have been a penalty called, but with a different crowd, they didn't manage to get it.
No, but VAR do check those ones, though.
They didn't in the situations that were at the weekend. They sometimes don't check those situations. So I think it forced the referee. In the Leeds match, it was way more clear cut, obviously. Yeah. But in that, I think the way Joe Linton just went absolutely crazy at the ref, there was no way he wasn't going to call a VAR.
We're just going to be back to what we've got. Pressure on the referees. That's what you've got to do. Fair enough. Well, John Joe Shelvey did make a weird point about Clarke getting sent off. He said he probably earned us the point in the end.
Cultured footballer, thick man. Yeah. I think there's very much.
But this is one of these
shot blanket.
This is one of these things, Jim, where people say, well, sometimes teams play better with 10 men.
Yeah, it's
I remember trying.
It does make it harder though, doesn't it? Suppose.
Yeah.
If it had been 11 of us, we'd have tried to win, and you know what happens when we do that.
Yeah.
I've watched MacGyver loads of times and he's made like a house bloke with a safety pin.
That's true. That is very true. MacGyver could carry a whole football team if he chose to turn his hand to that, which we hope he does one day. But Alan Shearer said he's scared stiff of Newcastle's defending. But in this game, you know, okay, Norwich are down there with them, but they did have a bit of fight and they were a bit resolute.
They did. Actually, I was shocked at quite how bad Norwich were, because you've seen them have a little bit of an upturn under Dean Smith, but they seemed really bereft of any ideas.
And also Smith was really disappointing, wasn't
really he? Just slow and sluggish, and they didn't take the game to Newcastle at all. Maybe they were trying to be too patient, but Newcastle looked more likely to win it, I thought.
Yeah, well, to the point of, Jim, the cameras appeared to catch Delia Smith falling asleep during the game. So you've got Delia falling asleep, Dean Smith saying he thought that it was their worst performance, I think, in the few games and the handful of games he's been there. So it all feeds into your point.
Absolutely.
You must be feeling pretty smug right now.
I am feeling pretty clever.
Yeah, indeed.
Did you see the big flag that War Flags put out, the Gallagher flags put out at Joseph Park of Eddie Howe's, one of Eddie Howe's inspirational messages, make each day your masterpiece. And I just, when Clark pulled it, make each day your masterpiece. Put that on a bit of driftwood, stick it in your kitchen. Beautiful.
Yeah. Live every day like it's the last. All right, I'll get sent off then.
Is it Prosecco time? Beautiful.
Dubravka had a good game, Peter. He tends to do. He made a couple of vital saves.
People criticising him for putting the ball back in the path of a footballer, a Norwich Pookie. Footballer. Well, it came in for Pookie, didn't it, afterwards?
Eduard Mendy did that and he won an award the other day.
Well, yeah. I think that they're forgetting that Dubravka has no confidence in his back four. So yeah. He just wants it well away. He doesn't even trust them on a corner. So let's just put it back in the 18-yard box and see what rings out.
That round thing, he hates that. Just get rid.
But he didn't warrant the criticism that he got, I think, on socials. But socials are very different to people in the crowd. And Andy Brassel, who I believe is at the match last night, he sort of said that the difference in reaction to people who are watching on television versus the people in the actual stadium.
Yeah.
Andy saw a lot of good things, or some good things. I'm not going to put words in his mouth last night at Newcastle. And if they beat Burnley at the weekend, who knows? I mean, what's that? 1 point from safety.
Well, they've yet to win a game this season, but definitely under Howe, things are improving. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Night and day. I love it.
They were pretty good against Arsenal in the first half, in particular. They just look a lot more organised, don't they? And they don't under Bruce. You could see they were just bereft. There was no inspiration there. They were just like sort of going through the motions, almost career wise.
Give it
and
Alan.
But it's they do look a lot more. Like there's a plan, and it is still sort of damage limitation, isn't it? But it's definitely a step in the right direction. As you say, one win, that puts them.
Are they you know, considerably worse than the teams above them? I don't think they are.
No, they can get out of this, but will they, Peter? Will they? That is the different
stats
question.
Are against them.
Stats are against them.
They are, but this is a curious one, isn't it? Because I know what you're about to refer to, which is that no team essentially who's been in a situation like this where they've failed to win in their first 14 has ever stayed up. And I know Eddie Howe is playing down like a big transfer window, but I think he's always going to do that because it's tactically advantageous for everyone to do that. But
Philippe Coutinho, the man to get them out of this?
Yeah, well, exactly. If you want, they need someone to dig in. but I think it's a strange anomaly in that they are suddenly
Awash with money. Yeah,
exactly.
But working against that, Jim, is that Eddie Howe is notably shit at spending it.
This is true.
I think that's. I think some of the signings he made for Bournemouth there was potential
that,
there.
Yeah.
Tyrone Mings was one that it didn't quite work out.
Jordan Ibe and one or two others. People thought they had a bit of quality, and maybe they still might. You never know. But they didn't under Howe, of course. But Dean Smith called the penalty decision pathetic.
Pathetic.
He was very angry. To me, I thought that was a penalty.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
We're all agreed there.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Billy Gilmore got a hand on the ball, not as strong a hand as Krull, of course, who nearly saved it. But the ball went in.
He must. I know Krull's cracking on massively, but he would be a great substitute goalkeeper for any team that would really be bad at saving pens. Because it's all he does, really. He scares the shit out of people.
You're issuing a come and get him plea.
Yes.
Well, you and Lou Van Gaal agree with this. Remember when he was brought on in the World Cup?
He's just got that kind of history. He's got that kind of reputation that puts the willies up people.
Yes.
Absolute willies.
Uh-huh. Mind what you do with your willies.
Deep, your deep willies. Deep, unyielding, thrusting willies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really does.
It's time to move
on. No.
Talk more about Willie's, please.
I'm all right, thanks.
Okay, all right. Are you ready to move on to Leeds versus Crystal Palace?
Just need a little sleep. Cigarette.
Leeds beat Crystal Palace 1-0, of course. Bielsa said, always a victory brings happiness. And in a human group, happiness is indispensable.
Another fridge magnet.
Yeah. Well, it suggests to me that
what's happening to these men?
Does he usually work with robots, Jim?
I don't know. Probably not, because robots don't live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
That's very true.
Prime directive, live, laugh, love.
Rafinha got the goal, of course, for Leeds United. He did a John Joe Selvey. And was awarded man of the match. So well done to him. Scored in the 93rd.
We're not referring to being
getting a man
of the match as doing a John Joe Shelby ever again, Marcus. I'm just nip that in the bud now.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
What if he continues?
Yeah, we will.
We will.
What if John Joe thrusts the willies up all of us and wins it on? Who knows? But yes. He scored in the 93rd minute from the penalty spot.
It was a risky penalty.
Staggered run up, and he didn't put it quite in the corner,
no.
But it was enough to get the ball in the back of the net.
I don't know when it's
all it takes.
When it's someone like Rafinha,
yeah,
because he's so confident. Mm-hmm. I don't fear the stuttering run up from him.
I know what you mean, but then if they get it wrong once, some players, then it can then it
becomes a thing.
We can see. Well, Jorginho obviously scored against Manchester United. We'd missed a couple.
Not against England though.
Not against England, but he missed that crucial one against Switzerland. But I remember Mario Balotelli, who was so good at penalties. Then he missed one, and he missed another one. Suddenly it became a thing. But he's up there with Ivan Toney at the moment with confident penalty takers. Tony's just magnificent.
I think his record's a bit better than Rafinha's, but
yeah, maybe. But Rafinha, though, I mean, when he's on one, he's one of the most entertaining players in the league, would say. He scored 6 of Leeds' 13 goals in the league this season. And what was quite nice is that old Patty Vieira agreed that it was a penalty. And opposition managers going, yeah, well, if it was up the other end, I would have wanted it. So, yeah,
I mean, it was, though, wasn't it? It was
a very penalty.
I know, but how many managers would not?
It was a funny thing to do.
It was a shame for Palace, though, because they probably deserved a point. Although, missed chances at both ends. Christian Benteke!
Yeah.
He's been among the goals of late.
I think Palace are kind of characterised by just bad decision making all of the time. When they're bad, they
think he decided to miss. No, not good enough.
Yeah,
for
but like players like Ayew and stuff, they just don't. They seem to do everything right, and then just the last minute they go, "I'm gonna pass it over there." There's no one there, John. There's just no one there.
I saw them.
It's like watching Peter Beasley play for Hartlepool. It's like Peter. At Newcastle United, you might have had a runner. You might have had Keith Gillespie up the wing,
absolutely.
But you ain't got him there, Hartlepool.
He sees things that we don't. But actually, in this instance, we're the right ones.
No, yeah, Peter Beasley says things that we don't.
Less said about that, the better, of course. But Palace, they've conceded 3 goals in stoppage time this season, drop points, you know, so they need to remember that it's not just 90 minutes they need to go for, Jim. They need to go that little bit extra. But Palace have been good. They'll go away and think, right, okay, we should have got a draw, could have got a win on another day. But Pete makes an interesting point when talking about the decision-making. That is the difference, isn't it, between the top sides and the bottom sides. But it is interesting what Vieira's doing there. So we've been enjoying Palace, I think, this season. Leeds are now up to 15th above Southampton and Watford. Palace are just a point ahead of them. Who's going to get sucked in? Who's going to get sucked in? Who do
Who's
we fancy?
Who's going to get sucked in?
What do you reckon? Southampton? Jim, Southampton? Right. For the sake of Luke Moore, Southampton?
Are Southampton not already sucked in?
Well,
how strong is the suck at this time of the season?
I think it depends who looks like they've got the willies up them. And then we can determine how strong the suck is.
So obviously Norwich are 18th on 10 points.
Yeah. Norwich are in there.
Yeah, Brentford are only on 16 points, and they're in 11th. So it's far too early to see how sucky this quagmire is going to be, isn't it?
It is. Brentford have got a bit of swagger, though.
Yeah. I don't think Brentford will be in trouble, but they're not that many points above it.
All right, gentlemen, before we go for a break, let's turn our attention to international football because the Lionesses beat Latvia 20-0 last night. England 20, Latvia 0. England women with their biggest ever win. I mean, putting those slugs to the sword, Jimbo. Come on!
Yeah. Slugvia, more like.
4 hat-tricks. I mean, it was said after the game that this essentially helps no one.
England won 10-0 as well, men's side.
Uh-huh. Well, Ellen White, she needed one goal to beat Kelly Smith's England all-time record as top goal scorer, and she ended up scoring a hat-trick. So well done to Ellen White.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, it was some of the goals you were like, right, because the keeper's kind of planted her foot in the wrong position and not really, and maybe she doesn't have a massive kind of wingspan, but a lot of them were just the defence were just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
It wasn't even. I felt really sorry for the Cape. It was just like it was just so unnecessary. Some of the goals. Just mark up.
Yeah.
Mark up at a bloody corner.
Still 20-0.
20-0.
Uh huh. Have some of that.
Having that. Look at his little face. Look at that little face.
Oh dear. Oh, one more point about him before we go to the break. Actually, did you see Exeter beat Bradford 2-1 in the FA Cup last night? Mm. In the longest FA Cup tie since the 1990s.
What?
This is quite nice, isn't it? It was a replay of a replay. After Exeter won the first replay, 3-0 in extra time last time out, but they made 6 subs, which is very silly and naughty. They gave Bradford fans free entry because they'd made the 600-mile round trip all over again. But they still won Exeter. They won 2-1. So well done to them.
Yeah.
There we are. All right, everybody, it's time for a break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
If you look at the game overall, probably took us 15, 20 minutes at least to get into the game or to get to grips with Millwall and their shape and what they've done. But then probably in the game was probably, the goal was probably against the run of play.
Yeah.
It was our best spell. We just hit the foot of the post and then we have the disappointment of the goal, and that's part of it. You know, we're still brand new.
Welcome back to the Football Rival, everybody.
Dried onion of a voice.
Oh, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy.
It's Pep Talks, everybody.
Pep Talks.
Over to you, Pete Donaldson.
It's time for a Pep Talk from Finlay. Hey, Finlay. Hey, Ramblers. I was wondering if you have any pets or experience with animals. I've just moved into a new house share and the houses in the area all co-own a cat called Ralph. Caught on. Yeah. I mean, who's paying the vet bill there? Who's taking the hit on that one? He's really sweet and often appears at the back door looking all cute, wanting to be let in. The only problem is that whenever I do let him in, he proceeds to attack me. I've been bitten, scratched, swiped at, and jumped on. Do you have any advice for what I should do? Do I let him in? And if so, how do I repel him without injuring him?
Oh, Ralph.
Oh,
water.
Ralph.
Use water. Get Don't yourself let... a super soaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let Ralph in the house. Yeah. Sounds yeah. like.
Well, I'm. So I have had a similar situation in the past with a cat
man
known locally
as
Tesco Cat, because the cat hangs out in Tesco for some reason. Mm. But not seen her in a while. I think she's been lazy in the winter. Or is dead.
Yep.
Let's hope not, but who knows?
It's
quite
a bad
old
Tesco.
But Tesco Cat doesn't really scratch or attack me, so I don't know. Right.
Do you scratch or attack it?
Put magazines around your arms.
Yes.
So that the scratches don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feed the cat, obviously, because it is someone's cat. It's really important not to do that, isn't it?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because then they just get overweight. It's a big problem with cats. They get fed in loads of different places.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not good for them.
Cats should be disciplined.
Shouldn't they?
Yeah. How would you do that? How do you discipline a cat?
Well, it's up to them.
Got chickens right. BMI.
I don't know.
Didn't work for Hatem Ben Arfa. It's not going to work for Hatem Kat Arfa, is it?
That's true. You've got me there.
Hatem Ben Arfa. Shit.
Oh no.
Two shows in a week.
Silly sort.
What happens,
Peter? Is the cat called Ralph because it's an interim cat? You know, they all sort of have him for 6 months or something like that. I don't know. So what's the advice? Magazines around the arm.
Yeah, that might be a bit extreme.
I think a water pistol with a bit of force should do the job. Peter, anything from
just
you?
Just explain its faults.
What about...
Really getting its head.
What about that... Take a leaf out of that woman with the wheelie bin. Or
get him
that...
in the bin, cat bin. Remember cat bin lady? That was. Yeah. Oh, I wish we were worried about cat bin lady now.
I miss that news cycle.
I really do. Cat bin lady.
Yeah, blimey, yeah. O'Reilly. Jim, have you got an email?
I do. I have a problem. From Ibrahima. Greetings, Ramblers, from wintry New Jersey in the US. My name is Ibrahima and I have a dilemma. I'm going to a wedding soon and I'm going to be the best man at the wedding. I've got my tux and everything needed for the wedding. However, I am a fan of wearing tuxes and now I look good in them, like amazingly good. It is the one time I actually ever get dressed up and go all out. Problem is, the groom is not a big fan of tuxes and does not wear them often. So my question is, do I purposely tone down the sexy, knowing that he isn't big on wearing tuxedos, or do I say screw it and bring my A game regardless? Best which is tuxedo man.
I think you know what we think. Yes. Here. Turn up the sexy. Always turn it up.
Florian Thorvan arriving at St. James's Park in a full tux.
One thing I've always found with people who are planning weddings, if they have very, very specific desires that they ask you to do, they actually end up loving it if you completely ignore them. So
is that true?
No,
I've been told.
Not.
I told you to wear clothes, Jim, and you.
I will be myself when I want to, Marcus. I think if the groom has said don't do it, don't do it. You're the best man, right? Yeah. You're meant to be supportive that day.
Yeah.
Don't make one of those little. Don't do one of those little things that's going to annoy him all day.
That is true. I'd hate that somebody having to tone down the sexy, Jim.
Well, I know.
But I suppose it is.
You hit sexy getting kind of constrained.
Yes, exactly. Let it run wild and free.
Have a tuxedo stag?
Yeah.
Tuxedo stag, rather?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So what are we saying then? So he needs to tone it down.
Yeah.
Find another way.
I think, if you're planning the stag or the bachelor party, whatever they call it in the US, make that tuxedo themed. So you all get your sexy tuxedo day.
Yeah.
Mm. And then on the wedding, you know, it's his time to shine.
I like that. I think that's the solution. That's the first sort of genuine solution I think we've had on these pep talks, which has any sort of value. Well done, Jim. There we are. If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in and we will try to get to them every Wednesday. show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. Now, gentlemen, we move on to the good people at FIFA. Have you heard of a thing called automated offside?
I have now.
I have now.
It is as it sounds. Yeah, they've been trialling sort of semi-automated offsides for 2 years. We've mentioned this before. Mm. Last night, it got a first public run-out in the Arab Cup in Qatar. The idea is that it will be more accurate than the current VAR system, improving the precision of the kick point, and the player's skeleton will be modelled to identify which part of a player's body is furthest forward. Is this going too far?
Well, if it improves the decisions and it can be done quickly, I think that it's welcome, isn't it? But there'd be no one to be angry at.
Yeah.
What a bloody singularity, getting it wrong again.
Bring me the skeleton of a footballer. We need to test this thing.
Also, there is still going to be a human being checking those decisions.
Because there always is, I guess. When it was kind of stuff like that. But I mean, look, that is the perfect, not perfect. You know, like when VR came in, we were like, well, we didn't need it for this reason, we didn't need it for that reason. But offside, it's a binary decision. I guess the offside, they can tell you whether you're offside or not. Can the AI looped deep learning kind of tell us whether phases of play and all that business and, you know, all that? Can it tell us, can it go as advanced as that? Or is it just a binary? That was offside, that was onside.
Yeah, well, this is it, because we don't want the toenails and the armpits and stuff.
If it ends there, I think, you can get a decision literally instantaneously. I think that's a fair application of technology in a game that is just hurtling towards more and more of this sort of thing. So I'm for it in principle.
In principle.
Thank you, Arsenal.
We shall see. Well, 10 of the 16 goals disallowed in the Premier League this season have been because of offside.
Mm. I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah. I mean, the figure was with referees' assistants, something like all the officials would get sort of 90-odd percent. Was it 92 or 93% of decisions correct? But we wanted that extra 7 or 8 percent. And my goodness, this is a step in the right direction to getting that extra percentage, everybody. So not too shabby at all. Tonight in the Premier League, there are 6 games, including the Merseyside derby. It's an interesting one. But before we actually talk on that, sad news about Ray Kennedy's passing yesterday at the age of 70. 3-time European Cup winner with Liverpool.
3 times? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's not too shabby, is it? No doubt, obviously, there'll be tributes to him at the game tomorrow. But it's a very important game for Rafa Benitez and Everton. Benitez has asked Everton fans for patience. And he's insisted that Everton can put things right in the Merseyside derby, and everything can change, and other such quotes from him. After their loss against Brentford on the weekend, Agent Rafa and Benitez out were trending. Agent Rafa was particularly amusing, yeah. I felt. But he's, you know, he's back in the big leagues, Jim, and this is the kind of pressure that you have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that they've got to sort of a crisis point like this so quickly. I know they've been really hit hard with injuries, probably as much as anyone in the league, if not clearly the team who've been affected most by it. But you know, they've had time to try and adjust to that and try and like come up with alternatives, and it just does not seem to be working, does it?
But all that money they spent like four or five years ago, and then they're relying on a injured Salomon Rondon to lead the line.
Well, it's coming to bite them now, isn't it? Because of the amount of money they spent and the application of FFP essentially. So it's a difficult ask. It's a very, very, he's like constrained quite a lot, Benitez, and we've seen he can actually work wonders when he's under those conditions because of how he did at Newcastle. But I think that's, you know,
very different,
a very different expectation, absolutely. And it's not unreasonable to expect it to be better as well from Everton fans. So
a far more demanding club than the present Newcastle. Rafa used to manage in China, and there was something the other day that us at the Football Ramble HQ noticed, that in China in the 1985 Championship, apparently headers counted as 2 goals.
Oh, I like that.
In the table. And
so it counted as 2 goals when it came to goal difference.
In the table, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
And I thought to myself, did Rafa think that was the case, which is why he signed Solomon Rondon when he went out there? And clubs were also awarded a bonus point for each player selected to be in the national team. And now, so again, did he think it was their national team? So Rondon, you know, he's the best Venezuelan player. He's going to get loads of caps there. Maybe that was his thinking. I don't know. But I did quite like that. But Benitez was asked how he would feel if Liverpool fans sung his name at Goodison Park. And he said, "The fans know me. They appreciate what I have done over there. And now they appreciate I'm a Blue. I want to win. And I will try to win. Fighting talk, Peter. Fighting talk. He is leading them into war, isn't he?" Do you fear for Rafa at Everton? I mean, this is they're playing a Liverpool side who have been playing some great stuff at the moment. Everton are not good. I know most of the games between these two at Goodison Park in recent years have ended in draws, but Everton haven't won this fixture at Goodison Park for a long time. Yes, he's right when he says everything can change and it's a good opportunity to do so, but you're playing a much better side.
Well, Klopp doesn't like this particular fixture because he says it's too physical. Who knows?
Yeah.
Might have a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
He might get through that way.
Is that him basically trying to tell everybody to calm down and not get his main players injured like has happened
pretty
before?
Much,
But speaking of injuries, Tom Davis, Yerry Mina, Dominic Calvert-Lewin are still out.
It's not ideal. I mean, these are first team players.
Elsewhere in the Premier League tonight, Brighton go to West Ham. Face a tough test because a survey has revealed that West Ham fans are the most flatulent in the league. The survey showed that the Hammers fans are apparently doing up to 12 farts per game. Who did this survey? What is going on?
But jelly deals, mate. Makes you fart.
Maybe. I mean, a certain type of person is... It passes a threshold where they're actually proud of their own flatulence. Could these fans be talking that up?
Maybe. Well, more than 90% of Premier League fans surveyed admitted to letting one out, but the average was only 6 passing of wins per match, which is half the flatulence. Newcastle was second with 11 per match. Brighton, bottom of the table with 2.
They're doing that for warmth in the North East?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. They talk about having their shirt off.
Yeah, but you've but got to need a warm gusset.
That's just awful business, isn't it?
It really is a shame.
Yeah, sorry about that, everybody. Let's finish talking about Aston Villa versus Man City then to sort of say something. Steven Gerrard, first proper test, Jim, in the hot seat at Aston Villa, because he'd said this, didn't he, after two wins at the start of his Villa reign. They joked around and said, right, it's easy this. And he went, yeah, Man City on Wednesday, though. Fair play to him, though. What do you reckon? Can Gerrard mastermind a performance?
Well, I think it's a big ask, isn't it?
It's a huge
City
ask.
City are ruthlessly consistent, although they've got their own injury problems, actually. Mm. I know like you, they are built to weather that storm a lot more than anyone else, but it still stacks up. So you never know.
But I feel, though, with Man City, though, he's sort of, if you remove, you know, Jack Grealish from the field, like Bernardo Silva just sort of pops up in his place, then you remove him and there's like, oh, there's Riyad Mahrez, and then you just keep going.
Exactly.
And it's just, it's not fair, is it?
No.
It's not bloody fair. But interesting, though. We'll see how they get on, of course, tonight. By the way, thank you very much for everybody who joined us on Sunday on Green Room with myself and Andy Brassel. Luke dropped in as well. It was a good time on the Green Room app on Spotify. We did a little preview of the games. It's like a live podcast, Jim, isn't it? We can say rude words and no one can edit it out.
It's like that live radio show we did about, God, 6 years ago on American radio, and literally every question was about Jose Mourinho.
Mention his name and all the switchboards lit up.
But nobody wants to talk about Jose Mourinho this time, which is great.
That's true. Well, maybe we'll try and jam him into the chat, because Jim and I are doing it all over again tomorrow.
Yes.
In the lead up to tomorrow's matches with Arsenal and Manchester United, of course, Jim. So we're going to be on the Green Room at about 6:45. Maybe we'll talk for sort of half an hour, something like that. So in the build up to the match, which kicks off at 7:30,
and they'll be constantly pumping.
Well,
brown room, more like.
Oh, no.
Hotbox. Mark spells his hotbox.
How dare you? But of course, the people can get involved on the chat. You know, if you want to request to speak to us, you can jump in. We had, I forget his name, but he was a Derby fan. Mm-hmm. He came on, ruined the chat. We were talking about Chelsea versus Man United. Had to start going on about Derby, didn't he? I'm so sorry, sir. I forget your name. But his profile picture had a lovely suit on. I remember that.
Lovely.
This is the type of gravitas you could find yourself having.
Indeed. If you want to come at Jim and me, then come on Green Room on Thursday night, tomorrow night at 6:45. But it's a really easy listen. You can listen on your desktop or your mobile in one click. Just open up the Green Room app and search Football Ramble. It's dead easy. I know people say, oh, but I've got to download another app. It'll take you 2 seconds. It's free. We have a lovely old time.
What are you moaning about?
Exactly, yeah.
But hypothetical knob.
In there, there's chat with other Ramble listeners. And as I said, you can put yourself forward for a chat with us as well. It'll be a lovely old time. We'll have proper banter. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble today, part of the Acast Creator Network. Of course, on tomorrow's show, Kate, Vish and Andy will be in your lugholes. Until then, thank you very much, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Petey.
Go and get your booster.
Thank you, everybody. See you on Green Room.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.